Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Listen to deeply personal, insightful, and thought-provoking stories from the world's leading thinkers and doers. Listen and subscribe to The Unmistakable Creative wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to start this week's episode with a bit of a coded message. I'm certain you'll understand it by the end of the show. I'm pretty sure everything will click into place about midway. It concerns a picture, which for copyright reasons I can't show to you. But I want you to know that both on your behalf and mine, I have viewed that picture, and it is everything I could have wished for. All will become clear.
Hey baby, let me take you down, so we'll play some strange sights and sounds you ain't never seen the like before. Just a stone's throw from your front door.
I'm standing outside a church in Leytonstone with Dee Wood, and I have an inkling that this is going to be an off-piste interview.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You aren't going to be in charge of questions, right?
Hello.
Hello.
So far, so good.
Yeah. I'm on track. One word answers.
We are at the Church of St John the Baptist in Leytonstone. What are we here for?
Oh, we're here to talk about Hitchcock in Leytonstone, really. Hitchcock was born in Leytonstone, and this summer, as I did last summer, just doing a little event to sort of celebrate his legacy in the area and the legacy to arts and culture, basically. So where better place to do that than a cemetery / church in the centre of Leytonstone? That's very Hitchcock-esque, to my mind. There are loads of little bits that go on in the area that celebrate Hitchcock, but there's nothing that sort of really brings it all together. And actually, even some people who live in the area don't really know that he was born here. Even the murals at the station aren't really noticed. You didn't notice the murals at the station, did you? You're a good guinea pig.
I've just photographed a whole load of them.
Oh, have you? No.
Yeah.
Is that why you were late?
At this, yeah, it is. At this very moment, listener, you are enjoying the fruits of my labours. You'll be seeing mosaics popping up in front of you.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they were made in, I think, 2001 or something like that. But loads of people don't take they're brushing off to work, don't take the time to look at them.
No, what I did discover, though, is that the population of Leytonstone is extremely well-trained. Because unlike pretty much anywhere else in London, as I was taking photos, and it's in the tunnel by the underground station, So you've got two flows of foot traffic separated by a little fence. So I'm shooting across the opposite lane of foot traffic, and everybody was ducking down and screeching to a halt and hurling themselves out of the way of my shot.
Did no one swear at you?
No.
Oh, crikey. Well, so they obviously...
Nor did anybody do the central London thing, which is just to barge past and get in the photo anyway.
Yeah. They obviously meet tourists like you quite a lot. So it's a big tourist destination, is Leytonstone.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
You can see that already.
I've got to say, though, actually, I haven't been to Leytonstone for, I don't know, 15 years or something properly, and the place has really changed. This is a much more genteel place than I remember.
I knew you were going to say gentrification.
I didn't say gentrification, I said genteel.
Yeah, it definitely has changed a lot over the... Actually, in the past couple of years, it's seen a big influx of... And this is not official stats, but lots of people who sort of used to live in Hackney now settling down with maybe wanting a house with a garden so they can have children, have actually sort of all moved from Hackney, and that happened 4 or so years ago, and there was nothing much for them to do, but now that's sort of the flow's feeding in, where there are loads more activities going on. There are pop-up supper clubs, there are cafes and things like that. And
the rot has started.
No, don't say that. There's still that's not the official line. There's still a massive range of activities for all sorts of people with all sorts of different interests. And that's one of the things that I wanted to do with Hitchcock's Home, which is the event 14th, 15th, 16th of July in this very church that we're standing in. So, it's about Hitchcock, but it's also actually ongoing, celebrating the arts and the culture and all the creative bits that go on in Leytonstone. In the courtyard bit that we're standing in now, there's going to be food and drink by local food vendors. There's going to be a bar by a little wine company called Burgesson Hall. There's going to be beer from Signature Brew, which is a brewery in Leyton. So that's all sort of trendy, right? And in the church hall, there's going to be arts made by local artists, because there's an arts trail that goes on. So they've got an exhibition in there that will be on at the same time as the event.
Do you mean, when you say local artists, you mean some of these Hackney residents that you've stolen?
Oh, well, when you say local artists, it's really interesting. There is a real, real mixture, all the way from amateur dabbling in your front room sort of thing, to someone knitting, to actually people who, not commercial in the sense that they're sort of sold out commercial, but in the sense that they're very successful and they do exhibitions and things like that. A couple of the people on more on that end are, as we walked past from the station, actually, there's a little shop called Hooksmith Press, and he does letter press printing. Does that make sense? Even artists like that have done some things that have a Hitchcock influence. So, for example, pulling on the same things that he might have pulled on when he was in the area, and also actually quoting Hitchcock. And there's another artist called, I think she's called Two for Joy, Stacey. She does paper cutouts and things like that, and she did one piece that is the birds, or her interpretation of the birds, and that's in a little design boutique just by the station as well. But there's the Stone Space, which is just opposite us now, and also TFL at Leytonstone Underground Station. They let out a room called Fill the Gap, where you can put on an exhibition for free for 2 weeks. So there are loads of different things going on. And in the church, there's also going to be a Hitchcock retrospective. There is loads of stuff going on. So even within the arts trail that's going on, there's a smaller group called the Creative Block who do stuff. There's also the Leytonstone Festival that's going to be going on, that's a lot to do with the arts and the culture of Leytonstone. That's also this summer, every summer. Leytonstone's a real mixture of people who have lived here forever, who are creative, but their output is external, shall we say. So people who
output
are
does
renowned
tend to be.
Well, I don't know. It depends on your art, doesn't it?
What, internal output? You break something if you tried that.
No, they're people who are sort of renowned and successful filmmakers who live in the area, but who aren't necessarily associated with it.
Listen, hold on.
I did just spiel on there. I need to be stopped.
Well, that's what I'm attempting to do.
Okay. Here's your big moment.
This is an intervention.
It's not the first time I've heard that.
Anybody tuning into this for Hitchcock?
Oh, gosh,
we'll be disappointed so far.
Hitchcock, most of his life is obviously his Hollywood years and things like that. And there's not much about him in Leytonstone.
Well, how long was he here for?
He was born in 1899, 13th of August. And he was born, we can go and see where he was born, which is now a jet garage, like a petrol garage.
Well, I was up for it until you announced that.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Let's pretend I don't know that.
Oh, okay. He was born there 1899 and left, we think, about 1907. Yeah, and he was born above the grocer's shop where his father owned, William Hitchcock. There's a photograph of him outside celebrating. I'm not sure where that... He was celebrating some, I think, Empire Day or something. I'm not quite sure where that photograph lies, but there's a local museum, Vestry House, which is in Walthamstow, which actually has an archive of a lot of his family photographs. So they're private viewing, so they can't be published. But if you are really interested, you can just... Because it's a Waltham Forest museum, you can just contact Vestry House and ask them to go in and view them privately. And they're amazing. There are sort of photographs of Hitchcock on holiday wearing, so you know, those old-fashioned all-in-one bathing suits that go all the way down. Yeah, I mean, it's quite flattering. So you can go and see all of that. And the greengrocer's where he was is one of the few places in Leytonstone that highlights Hitchcock, so one of them being the Leytonstone Underground Station, or in a public way. Waltham Forest also commissioned a outdoors mural where there are birds that have been painted along a wall. Even though he wasn't here for very long, it can be said that his films do, and his creative output do, have a lot of influence from those formative years. So the classic story is Hitchcock's father, William, was a disciplinarian, and one day, I can't remember why Hitchcock was in trouble, but he'd stolen a pint of milk or something like that, and his father sent him off to the local police station with a note and said, "Give this note to the constable." And the constable read the note and put him in a jail cell for an hour or so and said, "This is what we do to naughty boys." And the note had said, basically, lock him up for a bit as punishment. And so supposedly lots of his works that are about, you know, the wrong man and things like that, and mistaken identity and being punished for things that aren't your fault, stem from that. And he has even said, one of his interviews, which he gave many, says, "Oh, what would you want on your gravestone?" And he says, "Oh, this is what we do to naughty boys." So obviously that's a joke, but it does show that he actually was influenced by that event. And with the other stuff that...
So that would have been here, would it? He would have been locked in a police cell here in Leytonstone.
Yeah, on Harrow... I think it would have been called Harrow Green Police Station.
What actually remains then? I don't know, architecturally or places that he would have known in Leytonstone.
There is, up near Green Man Roundabout, there's lots of old-fashioned housing, and one of the houses in particular, I can't remember which street it's on, but Hitchcock used to walk down that street a lot, and one of the houses is supposedly the house that he based Bates Motel on. And it's really interesting, when you do walk past, particularly if it's dark, it does actually look a bit frightening. So there are loads of bits in the area that he drew upon. All historical buildings that were made pre-Hitchcock would have been there. So, for example, Leytonstone House, there was a cinema up, if we go left. So a cinema was built, but that was, I think, in about 1907, so it would have actually been when he left. But the whole of his childhood history is really hazy. I think that was part of the air of mystery that he liked to shroud his childhood in, you know, as part of his persona. But some of his biographers do believe that he came back just before he got married, from when he left school, between when he got married in, I think, 1926, and then he went off with Alma, the wife, and then obviously they went off to Hollywood. But his whole childhood, which is obviously centred around here, so you could say influenced him, is a lot to do with being a misfit and things like that. So he was a Catholic surrounded by Protestants, so he went out to, well, in terms of everyone living in the area, so the church he went to was outside the area and things like that. And then he went to a school that his father took him out of because they weren't feeding him properly, and I don't think his brothers and sisters wanted to play with him very much. He also would probably have been influenced by, there used to be a big film industry in Waltham Forest and Walthamstow, which isn't here at all, because during the war, that's when it all sort of got refocused to Hollywood. So pretty much none remains in Walthamstow. There is a cinema that used to be there. It's still there. It's no longer a cinema. And in fact, there's a society called the MacGuffin Society who tried to save the cinema, but they were unsuccessful, so I don't know what they're up to now. But it is now a pub.
Who are you?
I'm Dee Wood.
Yeah, no, we've done that. But who
in my real life?
No, I mean, well, is this not your real life?
No.
What is this?
Oh, crikey! Yeah, I run. I just do pop-ups for a hobby. because I basically, I don't have any other interests. One of those sad cases. So I've lived in Leytonstone my whole life. Again, sad case. And I've done loads of pop-up events in the past, and I just thought, well, loads of people know about Hitchcock, but they're mainly the people who sort of already, you know, they already know, so they're already interested and they're already going to Hitchcock events. But just Joe Public, even in Leytonstone, didn't really know that much about Hitchcock. Nothing was really celebrated on a scale that brought together all the different aspects of the arts and culture and film and things like that in Leytonstone. So I thought, why don't you do something? So that's what I did. So I approached David, the vicar of St John's, and I thought, what better place to show Hitchcock films and to celebrate Hitchcock than in a cemetery in the centre of Leytonstone? Didn't actually expect him to say yes, and then he did, and I thought, crikey, I'm going to have to do this now. And it was absolutely brilliant of him to say yes, because I don't think anyone had quite approached him with an idea to use the whole church before. So I think he didn't quite know what I'd be doing. I didn't quite know what I'd be doing. And so when he said yes, I thought I'd better organise something. So the whole event basically is a 3-night pop-up party to celebrate Hitchcock and the legacy to arts and culture in Leytonstone. So all 3 nights we've got food and drink sort of foyer with food from local food vendors, a local brewery, Signature Brew. There's an art gallery tattoo parlour called Artifacto, which is near where Hitchcock was born. And every year, because they're big Hitchcock fans and a lot of their work is heavily influenced either by Hitchcock himself or by things that they think Hitchcock would have been influenced by. So, for example, once did flats where they put on loads of fairs and circuses that Hitchcock actually went to and really enjoyed when he was younger. And that's mirrored in, obviously, works like... Oh, what's the one where they get...
Stranger on a Train.
Yeah, Stranger on a Train. Yeah, yeah, well done. Every year during Hitchcock's birthday, 13th of August, 1899... they do a call out to artists, and in their tattoo parlour they exhibit the works that these artists have done, and so some of the ones that they've done in the past will be exhibiting in the church here as well. And more on the culture side, there's going to be a couple of... I don't describe this well. I describe everything else so well. They're going to be pop-up talks, so just a couple of minutes, sort of people either telling you some... oh, fun facts about Leytonstone.
Okay,
is that a sentence?
You ruined it there.
I was doing so well, wasn't I?
Well, that'd be a crazy quiz.
No, absolutely not. Too much thinking. I think people want to know a little bit. You don't want to be bogged down in detail, but it's quite nice to know a few fun facts about Hitchcock. Last year I had David Boot, who actually is chair of Leyton and Leytonstone Historical Society. He just did a couple of minutes just to tell you little facts about Hitchcock that aren't necessarily on Wikipedia and that actually connect him to the area, because there is tons of information, but it's all either about his Hollywood years or just about him as an artist, which is obviously great, but what's unique about here and the event and Leytonstone is tying him into, you know, real places. Like you asked earlier, where, you know, are there any things still here that he would have been influenced by, and what sort of activities influenced him and the stories that then shaped him as an artist. So he did that, did loads of research. It was brilliant. And he did that last year. And in fact, if you are really, really interested in the history of Hitchcock in the area, it's a really good place to start with that historical society, and also Vestry House, which is a Waltham Forest museum, who have an archive of amazing photographs of candid photographs, like family snaps and things like that, of Hitchcock playing tennis in a dress. Well, they weren't called... like they sort
playing
of
tennis
wore...
in a dress?
Have I made that up?
Seems a little unlikely.
Okay, fine.
There's a picture of Alfred Hitchcock playing tennis in a dress.
I will accept that I might have made that bit up. I think he's playing tennis. I think he's playing tennis. Maybe he's playing tennis with a woman who is wearing a dress. I think on balance that makes far much more sense. The family photographs aren't, because of the copyright on them, aren't able to be printed and things like that. But because it's a council-run museum, you can just organise with them to go in and see all the archives of these photographs. My God, this is...
I just got an image of Alfred Hitchcock playing tennis in a dress of all the people with that hangdog look and the gels.
I think it'd have a lovely swish.
That's going to stay with me.
See, that's your takeaway for today. Obviously, as you can tell, there are people who know a little bit more about various aspects of either the arts and culture in the area or... there's also going to be a couple of people who are talking about interesting bits that you might not know about Leytonstone. All this will just be a couple of minutes of them talking before the main film actually starts. It's not strictly a film event. Part of the fun of the and uniqueness of the evening,
yes,
if we can brand it
evening
like that. Yeah, it's evening, so it's doors open from 6:30. Grab a drink, as we all like to do, check out the art, bring your own blanket or chair, and grab a space in the cemetery in amongst the headstones, basically. So that's one of the fun bits. There's going to be a 25 by 30 foot screen, which we will show a couple of film shorts by local filmmakers who are either, well, where possible, are based in the area and their content is filmed in the area. Last year I played one by film short called Letters by a guy called Anthony Hett, who actually he got his funding from the Hitchcock Art Fund, which does exist still, but is dormant. So it's been going for about, I think, since 96. But depending on whether they... It is council-run, but depending on partnerships and whether they can get the funding depends on whether they can actually grant any money that year. So I don't think they managed to grant any last year. I don't know about this year. But it was amazing to find him, because I tried really hard to... Because I want to highlight... The point is, you want to highlight the local... And I tried really hard to find someone who had a film short who was local. And it was really great, because the other day, the Leytonstoner, which is a local sort of magazine and events listings, put a little call out. And now I've got loads. Even getting all those through is evidence of, because I'm not really in the film, local film scene, as it were, actually you see all this stuff, you go, my God, there are so many people who are doing actually brilliant work, and loads of it is award winning, and it's just completely diverse, and it is filmed with local people in a local place, and all of that. So that's amazing to see, and that's almost why I've tried to get other people who, for example, on the arts front, Artifacto, I've got a friend of mine who does murals, who's hopefully going to do some muralling along the railings. We're going to get some boards, because there's a local organisation called Wood Street Walls, who the point of them is to, well, as I understand it, is to sort of reclaim walls and spaces and things like that for art. So it's not graffiti, and it is with permission. So in Walthamstow there's a street called Wood Street, and they've got loads of local artists to do amazing pieces of work and things like that. And actually it's about maximising the space of the church and trying to maximise all the different aspects of what's going on locally and draw it into one event where possible. I mean, I understand this only scratches the surface as a cliche, but you know, I've only seen little bits and I'm only aware of these little bits, so I try to.
So does that mean then that the churchyard is going to be enclosed by it, by that, so people outside won't be able to see the film going on in the inside.
No, it's ticketed anyway, so to get into the whole event at all, you need to get tickets. Tickets at hitchcockshome.co.uk, and no booking fees. But the reason I say that is booking fees really wind me up. So I thought, well, if I'm putting on an event, I should pay the booking fee myself, because I don't like it when I have to pay it as a customer.
And the tickets are £400 each.
You've done the right thing there. No, a steal at £16. But that's with, so obviously all the arts bits going on. There's going to be some works of art in amongst the cemetery as well, because you can go round and explore the grounds. It does actually go sort of a path that goes all the way around, and you can read about the history of the church and things like that. And
everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Listen to deeply personal, insightful, and thought-provoking stories from the world's leading thinkers and doers. Listen and subscribe to The Unmistakable Creative wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Obviously, a couple of film shorts, a couple of what I'm calling fun pop-up talks, which you can listen to or not, as you so desire. The film shorts made by local filmmakers, and at sunset, there's going to be a screening of a Hitch classic. So on the Thursday 14th of July, it's going to be Rear Window. Friday the 15th is going to be Psycho. And on Saturday the 16th, it's going to be Birds. And the screen will be in the cemetery, and you'll bring your own blanket, whatever you fancy, to make yourself comfortable. And I've chosen... Well, last year I did all... Well, I tried to pick ones that were British-based or had some sort of British focus, either from his British years when he was here, or either their films in London or had a London theme. And this year I thought I would just go for the classics, so that's what I'm doing. Friday Fright Night with Psycho. But the church has been great, because there is no sacrilegious content. Got to be careful to say that. But David, the vicar's been great in the way that we're in the centre of Leytonstone, and it is a focal point, and it is literally in the heart, physically in the heart of the community. And even, obviously, you can see, we've walked in because the gates are open. So in summer, you can come in and sit in the church and have your lunch and whatever. So actually, even in terms of what's going on in the area and how the area's changed, it's actually about seeing these spaces and going, hang on a sec, it's not... religious or not, whatever, it's a community space, come in and enjoy it.
So it's only really your festival that's stopping people from being able to access the place?
Only for 3 nights only. No, you can't. It's a dodgy man who goes into a cemetery at night, isn't it? Unticketed.
You sort of implied earlier on that you get people who know everything about Hitchcock expecting you to know everything about Hitchcock.
Yeah, it is extraordinary.
Is he the sort of figure, and I suspect he is he the sort of figure who has a cult obsessive following?
Yeah, he absolutely is. Funnily enough, a lot of the fan clubs are American and they're based in America, but you do get, that's because so many of his big films and all the famous ones are his Hollywood years, and he did fall in love with so many aspects of America. But even here, I will get people who come up to me and sort of are either expecting me to know loads or reel off loads, and it's, I like Hitchcock. I'm a Hitchcock fan in the appropriate sense of the phrase. I think some people, I suppose it's their full-time hobby, so they know a lot about him. But what's quite interesting with... I don't read a lot of biographies or anything like that, so I don't really know, but certainly with Hitchcock, it's very interesting because he shrouded so much of his personal life in mystery.
You know what image has just floated into my mind again?
Hitchcock in a skirt. Do you know what? I'm going to have to Photoshop that image.
With the tennis racket in his hand like a club.
And I'll send it to you in the post and you'll be so confused. You'll be like, oh yeah.
I will take that as the cue for a restraining order.
How unkind. So there are people who, and last time, as I did the event last year, there are people who came from across London to go to the event, all the way from Islington. I mean, we are a cultural hub now. But there is loads going on in Leytonstone, and it's quite nice to just be one of the many things that's going on. And actually, last year it was really, I won't say surprisingly well supported, but we were sold out all 3 nights, and that was because everyone was just really enthusiastic about it and obviously thought, well, we'd better support her doing this, because if this doesn't go well, we won't have any better events going on. So it was amazing that everyone tipped up. One of the things that potentially influenced Hitchcock as well is that during that time, there were a few high-profile murders. So there was one guy who murdered his whole family. And one of the victims of Jack the Ripper is buried in Leytonstone as well. So there are a sort of few... You know, it very much was the East End of London, on the periphery, but sort of East End of London as well. One of the reasons that he shrouded a lot of his childhood is that he had a bit of a chip on his shoulder. So obviously the industry at the time was people who were maybe from a slightly more affluent background. And so he sort of tried to hide where he came from and things like that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Once he made it in the States, did he still sort of... clearly his Britishness was an interesting quirk, but did he really identify with this place?
No, I don't think he did. I think once he left, he sort of left it all behind and really didn't like to focus on it at all. I think he does have family still left and they're very much American, and I don't think they really have much of a connection to, well, even to the UK, let alone Leytonstone, which obviously would be your first port of call. But even in his later life, he was always looking for, I suppose, affirmation of him as an artist. And because he didn't even win, he did get a Lifetime Achievement Award, but he was the first Lifetime Achievement Award, I think, he was given to him by the BFI, but BFI with the French accent. Did you see the recent Hitchcock documentary that came out, Hitchcock Truffaut? And so actually, sort of as reflected with the French film industry celebrating him, Truffaut, obviously, French guy who was terribly serious, was really interested in Hitchcock and about him as an artist, because I think a lot of what Hitchcock's done is very popular and populist. So often once you sort of become popular, people like to sort of say, oh, you've sold out, you're not artistic, and things like that. And actually, there have been a couple of documentaries recently that have really sort of highlighted his artistic, I suppose, intentions and how the way he worked and things like that. Because he definitely very much famously not interested in the actors at all, to put it kindly.
Called them cattle,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, called them cattle. So for him, his medium was not, but was never through the people.
But,
it was
but,
literally.
But he was, I think he was obsessed with some of his actresses, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, have you seen that whole series on the BBC? There's a whole thing, yeah, where it's him and actresses and things like that. Yeah, no, I don't know whether it was him growing up, but he definitely, not his judge, but definitely came across as someone who was a bit funny, I think. So his relationship with the actors certainly were very odd, certainly with a couple of the female actors, because he tried to make these perfect ice blondes, but they were all tools for him to tell his story. So I think another story is of someone asked what their motivation was, and he said, oh, I'm paying you, something like that. So you're just not interested. No, there's the script. This is exactly what I want to happen. Do it. I think for him, it was very much like for someone who's a painter, like the paint doesn't talk back. It was literally just a tool for him to paint his story and all of that. And he went quite in depth in all his the little tricks of the trade that really made his films pop. Like, for example, the things where, you know, you don't see the murder directly happen, it's just off screen, or it's just the shadow, and where you see, I can't remember which film it is, when they come in with a glass of milk and he put a light on to highlight that milk, because I think that was poisoned or something like that. But what I think is quite interesting about, I think him in particular, because he was the first person to make a speaking film in Britain.
Was he really?
Yeah, and so the way he grew up was with silent films. And so I think the generation, even people slightly older than him, would have had a completely different perspective. So for him to tell the story, obviously he has famous scores and things like that, massively famous, and they're brilliant. But, and it does change the atmosphere, but he does very much tell the story with the pictures and what's happening on the screen. And I think maybe that's, I mean, this is pure, pure speculation, but it maybe is that he grew up with silent films, so you had to tell the story through the actors, them doing what you've told them to do, and through the lighting and all of that. So it is very, it's very visual in that way.
Yeah, but it follows through, doesn't it? Because there are so many in his films, there are so many striking moments, and it feels like they're like beads on a necklace. You know, you're moving from one visually striking moment to the next.
Yeah, and certainly a few of the films that were seen of quite frightening at the time, like what's that one where it's with Cary Grant, and I think it's in San Francisco again. He makes this woman dress up how the lady he was in love with before, but it turns out it was still her. You know, and it's. But when you watch it, it is visually, it is frightening, isn't the right word, alarming. I think the whole film is alarming, and I think, what is it called? Is it Vertigo? Vertigo?
I was going to say Vertigo, but is that right?
I think it might be. Oh no, Vertigo is.
That's Kim Novak, is that right?
I think it is Vertigo. And the whole thing to watch is quite alarming, and at the time it wasn't very successful, because I think it was too alarming, but now it is one of his more successful films. But when you watch it visually, going back to that, visually it is what he does. I suppose maybe it feels very new, because maybe I just haven't seen many films of that ilk, and maybe there are loads of them, but in terms of, you're going to pick out something that you sort of feel may have changed actually film as a medium, he's really got quite a few of those, but there are so many. I mean,
the fact that the tube station, there's the ability in mosaic, the image is there, one recognises instantly the crop duster scene from North by Northwest.
And they're stills that almost sum up the films, and you take one look. you take one look, and even someone who doesn't really, you know, like the Birds one and things like that, there are so many people who are, you know, real Hitchcock historians, and I don't know even a tenth of, or a hundredth of what they do. I think even there's a guy called Daniel Berger who's doing workshops at the Hackney Picture House at the moment, like a Hitchcock sort of workshop. But there are so many different aspects of Hitchcock too, no? And I think one of the reasons I think you get so many enthusiasts with him who might be a bit odd, and obviously you get that with everything, is because so much of his history and then how that translates, or I suppose informs his art, is because he did shroud it so much in history. So it is speculation. He didn't really talk about it, and then the bits that he talked about, it was all sort of anecdotes, and you're sort of not really sure. And even with the history of him in the area, there's not a lot of recorded actual primary evidence. It is just hearsay, and then what you hear him tell when he's giving interviews. So there are the few that come up, like when he was locked up in prison, though, so you sort of take that as fact. But everything else really is what the fans make of it. And what's funny is that even that, when you listen to some of his interviews, he was one of those people, lots of people try to interpret art in different ways, and obviously that's fine, that's all well and good, but even Hitchcock sort of said quite a few times, I'm just here to make a really good film. You can read into it what you want, but this is my piece of art. If you want to go and read this subtext, decide this came from that and this was from this part of my scarred childhood, then that's great, but I'm here just to make a really good film. I think one of his quotes is, some films are slices of life, mine are slices of cake. And so he really did, his whole life was about filmmaking. It wasn't a hobby, that was, he couldn't retire, because that is what he did. That's just who he was and what he did, just in one. So I think that's why he inspires, whether or not you like, obviously all the fans do like the films, but whether or not you like the films, he is a very interesting character in that way.
We know his birth date, but I've got half an idea that he was still around in the 80s. When did he die?
April 29th, 1980.
Oh, there we go.
So just about made it in. He literally just about made it in. But he didn't come back, though.
Well, of course not.
No.
What on earth are you talking?
What?
I thought you meant...
What? Oh, you're still thinking of witches and zombies.
I wasn't
under... me. I was like, all right, Mr. Hitchcock fan.
I wasn't under the illusion that he died and then come back.
It's the ultimate trick. So you still see him in cameos in various films.
He's appearing at your festival.
Yeah, and here today. No, he never...
his original tennis attire.
He never... with the same panache as when he was young. No, he never came... He never really came back to Leytonstone. He really did distance himself. Yeah, I should also say, this is not a... Again, this sentence sort of hangs in the air alone, but he was heavily influenced by his wife, and had a big... I mean, the recent film about him isn't, I'm told, by Hitchcock aficionados very good or very accurate, but he was heavily influenced by Alma, his wife, who for that time, well, was an industry leader even at that time, which is sort of more impressive when you look back on what it was like then. Actually, Letitia, who runs Artefacto, who are doing the Hitchcock retrospective, one year they did, the theme was Alma, and it's quite interesting to see the juxtaposition between his obvious devotion and to his wife, and then to how he treated the women on set. And he had a very odd pranking sense of humour. Have you heard the one where he these are all ones that are very famous, I'm not telling you anything new, but he was on the set somewhere, and I don't know who he did it to, but he tied them up, he handcuffed them to a lead pipe all night and gave them laxatives. You should think that's... Yeah, no. Yeah, so that's why, I mean, that's why I think people take such fascination into how he operated, because you're going, who does that? But I mean, maybe, obviously, I think you forgive everything if you say it informed his art. And people go, oh, no, it just, it's fine. It informs my art. It's fine.
I think it tells you a lot about what one could get away with a bit of power.
Oh, yeah.
Right then.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And he just did that, but also to find it amusing. I don't know. It's odd. So he's a really interesting guy, and actually part of Leytonstone and how it's changing is almost to see maybe some of the areas where he hung out and things like that, and how that has then influenced people who are here today. So in terms of the legacy to arts and culture, I think legacy is a bit more, it's a word that looks back too much, so I don't know what other word I'd use, but not just in a direct influence by Hitchcock sense, in the sense that this is an area that has so much going on in whatever you're interested in. It's funny because there are the bits that are dotted around about Hitchcock, but in a direct sense, I don't think there is that much in terms of people on the street knowing about him. But I think the people who are artists and who are involved in the culture side of things. So, for example, there's a thing that's just started called Creative Conversations, which is run by, I think they're called Art3 Gallery. And that's about all the creative stuff that is going on in the area, and not just the traditional stuff. It would be stuff like Hitchcock's home and about different uses of space and all the creative stuff that's going on. And why I mention that is because what's going on would go on anyway, but that is evidence that it is being recognised, because it's a council run project, that it is being recognised that there is a ton of stuff going on in the area to talk about. It's that classic thing where everyone on Facebook bangs on about gentrification and people either absolutely love it or they absolutely hate it. And the whole point is that there should be room for everyone. There are a million one events going on. Some of them are free, some of them are to do with certain things. Every Friday and Saturday, the church has a little coffee morning where people who maybe don't get out of the house as much go. And so there's still all of that that has been going on forever that is still going on. And not to sound like you want stuff to stay still, but things like that should all still be going on. And I do think there is space for that to be going on. But it's whoever shouts the loudest, isn't it? So if the people who bang on about how angry they are that it's becoming slightly more gentrified have their say, then obviously you're going to think, oh, well, everything's all very la-di-da. And actually that's not the case at all. There is still a massive range, and it's really interesting seeing I do occasionally leave Leytonstone, but you know, I was born here, grown up here. To even see those changes, and they're changes. They're not good, they're not bad, they're just changes and they're different, and people are going to come in and people are going to go out. And actually, one of the reasons that I do pop-ups and one of the reasons I'm doing Hitchcock's Home is because so many people just complain about, oh, it wouldn't be great if someone did this and someone did that. Oh, go on then, why don't you do it? So I just thought, go on then, I've been banging on about it for a couple of years, like, why doesn't someone do a bigger event that maybe amalgamates a few different bits and to do with Hitchcock? And I thought, well, stop banging on about it, why don't you just do it? All right, I'll do it. So I think if people, the opportunity is there, if people want other activities to be going on, they can just go and organise them. It only takes a bit of thinking. So I think there's a lot of that. And then when a few people start complaining, you sort of feel justified in your, oh yeah, but they're complaining, so I can complain too. So I know everyone needs to complain sometimes, but you can also get off and do something, I think. So yeah, and I enjoy doing it, so that's why I do it, really, just for a laugh. Don't get enough of those in my life.
On that crescendo, I'm so very sorry to say that we've come to the end of our time.
Oh no, we hustled quite well at the end.
Yeah, this was working.
Yeah, we made a lot of sense. Yeah. Let's be generous.
Yes,
let's be generous of spirit.
Yes.
Yes, we did. You can say what you want when I'm gone. And the look on your face implied that you will.
It's been a real experience. A reminder, if you will, of the pertinent information that would enable somebody to access your cemetery. That sounded weird.
Oh, no. You can't. Sorry.
A quick reminder, if you will, of the key information that will facilitate somebody. Oh no, I'm going to just say the same thing again. I'm going down the same neural pathway, it would appear, that will result in the same sentence.
It was a good sentence.
No, it wasn't. It was no good. I reject it as a sentence.
I think you just needed a bit more gusto, maybe.
I'd love to know the key points about this extravaganza.
Oh, funny you should ask. I have those key points. So the event is called Hitchcock's Home, and it's running on three evenings, 14th, 15th and 16th of July. If you want tickets, you can get them online. No booking fees, because I don't like booking fees. Get them online at hitchcockshome.co.uk. And if you want to stalk us, at Hitchcock's Home on Twitter.
Right.
Oh, Instagram as well. I'm not very good at that. At Hitchcock's_home. I mean, add it to the list. And also on Facebook/Hitchcock's Home.
Dewood, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
My heart aches for some far off place. No one could have left you with your name.
And that's all for this week. My thanks for this week to Dee Wood. Thanks too to Bernie Barkway. Theme and incidental music was by Songs from the Howling Sea. I'm then Quentin Wolfe.
Front door.